The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Expert advice to keep the whole family healthy at All Care, the largest Irish-owned pharmacy brand.
Keep your texts coming in to 51551 and your emails to ray@rte.ie. Connor Pope, consumer expert, is in studio. How are you, sir?
I'm great.
Good, good. So I was reading in the Irish Times this morning about shrinkflation.
That's right.
I had not heard of the
really?
Term.
Well,
no.
The term is actually... like
it's been around
a few
years. The
practice has been around more than 100 years. And the practice involves businesses or manufacturers or retailers shrinking the price of a product but keeping the price, shrinking the size of the product, excuse me, but keeping the price the same. So let's say if you have a litre bottle of orange juice and
yes.
instead of selling a litre bottle of orange juice, suddenly you're selling a 900 millilitre bottle of orange juice but the price stays the same. Effectively, that's a 10% price increase because it's got smaller by 10% but you're still paying the same price. And we've seen it over and over and over again over the last 4 or 5 years. In fact, the statistics body in the UK did a survey of shrinkflation and products getting smaller, and they found over 2,500 products had got smaller over a 4 or 5 year period. So it really does happen, and it tends to be most pronounced, or people tend to notice the most, when it comes to things like chocolate.
Because
obviously
yeah.
people love chocolate. And a couple of years back,
I'd be kind of an advocate of that when everyone else was giving out about the Toblerone, you know,
yeah.
the less chocolate, but like nobody needs a Toblerone that size.
Well, you see, that's fine, but they could make the Toblerone that little bit cheaper as well.
I
but the example I used in the Irish Times today, and it was I think the Yorkie bar. Now, you're too young to remember when the Yorkie bar first was released.
With all the truckers
and the idea was that this bar was a really big bar of chocolate because truckers needed a lot of sugar and a lot of chocolate. And when it was released, it was 70 grams. So it was a really hefty bar. But now it's closer to 40 grams.
Okay.
So it's been dramatically shrunk in price. And, you know, the retailers sometimes try the line that, oh yeah, well, we're trying to do our bit to tackle the obesity crisis.
Yes.
Of course they're not. They're doing it because they want to maintain their profits, and they can't, and commodities on international markets are going up, so the cost of cocoa beans might be going up. So rather than changing the price, they change the size. But what's interesting is that so many products have been impacted, like virtually everything from Cadbury's cream eggs. You used to be able to get half a dozen Cadbury's cream eggs, now you get 5 cream eggs in a packet. You mentioned the Yorkie, there's Minstrels, M&M's, Mars bars, Twixes.
And then you know that you're seeing them already, the tins are
Quality Street.
Yeah, well, the tubs of Christmas sweets.
That's why now is the time to write about it, because every year for the last couple of years, poor old Quality Street had got it in the neck. Because there was a time when you'd get your box of Christmas chocolates and you'd struggle to eat them all, like, and you'd be left at the end by the 2nd or 3rd of January, you'd be left with a few rubbish toffees.
Just a strawberry.
I like the strawberry.
Oh, no.
And
what?
I like the coffee as well. I said it. Coffee and strawberry are fine chocolates.
But the orange. I like an orange
No. My children love the orange chocolates, so I'm not mad about them. But anyway, that's neither here nor there.
For
the whole
another
point
debate.
Was, there was a big box of chocolates and you'd struggle to get through them all. But then the big box became a slightly smaller box and a smaller box, and now the festive box of Quality Street is 620 grams, which is a lot smaller than it used to be.
Down from
It used to be kind of traditionally was a kilo. And that's over the course of time. But it's not just sweets; it's things like nappies. There used to be it might have been 60 nappies in a packet, and now there's 54. Or baby wipes. There might have been 62 wipes in a packet, and now there's 50. And you're kind of thinking while you might be able to see what's happening with your bar of chocolate or your tin of sweets, you're never going to really notice the decline in the number of wipes in a packet of Pampers, and it's kind of, you know, sometimes we take the mickey out of it and we laugh at it and say, oh, isn't that funny? But there is a genuine problem, which is that consumers are being ripped off across the board,
being duped,
and you need to apply the forensic skills of somebody from CSI to try and work out exactly what's going on with your shopping basket. And even sometimes I'm like years before I notice that things have got smaller. But you know, so it's just one of those things that's going to keep happening, and there's not really a whole lot we can do about it.
Okay.
Except give out.
Well, we're good at that. Okay, let's get on to our problem. This came in and I'll just read it out. I bought clothes online from a Chinese company, and when they arrived, they were the wrong size, bad quality, had defects. I have been this soldier as well, I'm just after realising. Did not match the description, etc. I immediately wrote to the company seeking a return address and refund, which they have not given me. Multiple emails had been sent since the end of August. One item never arrived, and they will not refund me for the item, instead insisting that they will resend the item, which I've refused, but to no avail. They will not refund me. Have I any rights at getting my money back? But just can I tell you what
yes.
I did? So it was before the wedding. I wanted to order shoes for Ellie, and she's got kind of wide feet and I couldn't get any to fit her, blah, 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 blah. So this very legitimate looking website popped up and it was all, and it was, it said, I can't even remember, but it was a co.uk.something. Yeah. So I didn't even see it, ordered them. And then it was like, they still haven't arrived. You know what I mean? Like they still haven't arrived. And it was, the, it was one of those where I didn't look at the website properly enough to know that it was complete spam or complete hoax. Or
you see, it can happen to bright people like you, Catherine. That's the thing.
And stressed out people, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Now the thing is, the answer, the short answer to this listener's question is no, they have no rights at all, or at least they have very, very few rights. And I think people have become comfortable with online shopping, and we've become comfortable with online shopping largely because of rights that have been enshrined in EU directives. So if I buy something from a site that's based in the European Union, I have certain rights. In fact, I have more rights as an online shopper than I do as a person who walks into a shop to buy a product. So if I was to buy a pair of shoes for online, and for whatever reason I didn't like them, I can return them within 14 days and I get a full refund. If there's any defects with them, I'm entitled to recompense when you shop within the European Union. But if you take your shopping outside of the European Union to China or to Singapore or to Australia or to the United States, all of those rights that you take for granted largely disappear. And I think one of the problems we have now is the internet makes the entire world accessible. Everything is available online. And sometimes the prices that you see products selling for are just so attractive. Like you might see an iPhone case, which would sell normally for 30 or 40 euros in a shop. You might see it selling for less than a euro. Mm. Or you might see a pair of shoes that would normally cost you 70 or 80 euros selling for 5 euros. So you think, oh, I'll buy them, I'll get them, they'll be delivered, everything will be fine. The reality is that a lot of the time, it's not fine. Mm. And when you stray outside of the European Union, you have no comeback, or you have very little comeback. Now, that's not to say that you don't, you shouldn't shop on overseas or websites that are in far-flung parts of the world. But you need to approach it with a huge amount of caveat emptor, buyer beware. I'm taking a gamble here. And like a lot of the products that we buy in legitimate or at least recognised retailers, they come from China anyway.
Yes.
Huge volume of the products that are made in this world come from China. So it's not that the products that are made in China are bad by any means, but sometimes they are priced so low that they just can't be the real thing. Mm. And one of the things that I've said on this show and in the Irish Times for many, many years is if something seems too good to be true, it always is too good to be true.
Yes.
So I had a quick look at the rights of this particular website. And the name of the website doesn't make any difference. Nobody would hear it. If I said the name, you wouldn't even recognise it. I can't even remember it, to be honest. But it's not like AliExpress or Alibaba, which is the big Chinese equivalent of Amazon. So it's not like a big Chinese retailer. It's a small retailer. But I liked one of the refund policy lines, which reads, "Note that we can accept goods only in case it is hanging by the wall." And I'm reading it going, what? Only in case it is hanging by the wall. Now, I have no idea what that right means, but I do know that if our listener had been a little bit more clued in and had looked at the terms and conditions maybe before they had bought all of these products, they would have read something like that and thought, well, hang on a second. If their terms and conditions are so incomprehensible, I'd say it could be tricky enough.
But I think the problem is as well? I think because there are so many pop-ups coming up in our social media, on our social media feeds, on our Twitter, on our Instagram. And actually, when I went back, the shoe still hadn't come, and I went back. And when I actually went on their website, I think I had popped into it as a pop-up that had come up on my Instagram account. And then when I went into it, I realised actually all of the models with the clothes that they were advertising had their heads cut off. So they had obviously lifted
the models from other sources. Now here's so my tip to you, and like the horse is already cantering across the field, and the stable door is long since opened. Like I would never ever buy anything online unless I know where I'm buying it from.
Yes.
So I don't buy from alluring pop-ups that suggest that I'm going to get a great deal.
But I'm not a big online shopper. But that, I think that was half the problem. I probably wasn't savvy enough.
Yeah, but even if you're not a big online shopper, and even if you see a bargain that seems brilliant, there's a couple of things that you need to do. You just need to take a step, breathe, and just Google the name of the site that you're looking to buy off, because the open transfer of information now means that if there's something wrong, if somebody else has had a problem with it, you can be sure they've tweeted about it, they've put it on Instagram, they've put it on Facebook. So just by Googling the name of a particular site, no matter where it is in the world, you're likely to find other people who have had experiences, both good and bad. And if all of the experiences are bad, well, then you might want to keep the money in your pocket. Now, having said that, there are times when it's too attractive.
Yes.
So, but the trick is only ever buy products that you're prepared to lose on. Because every time you buy from sources that are outside of the very, very contained European Union jurisdiction, you're taking a risk. But if something really is cheap and you're prepared to lose a tenner or you're prepared to lose 20 quid, well, then just buy it. You might get lucky. It might be a perfect knockoff of a particular designer handbag.
But don't be surprised
if it's rubbish, and don't be surprised if you don't get it back. And finally, if the person has spent, you know, if it's a significant amount of money, like if they've lost 20 quid, I'd nearly let it go.
Yes.
But if they've lost hundreds of quid, they can go to their credit card company or their debit card company and say, I bought this product online. The product never materialised. I'd like you to initiate, and we've talked about it on the show before, something called a chargeback, which we'll see the credit card company trying to get the money back, and they might have some kind of recompense, but it's a long and difficult process. And as I say, you wouldn't want to be ruining the next 3 months of your life trying to get the money back if you're talking about, you know, 10, 20, yeah, 30
to look
euros.
After your own mental sanity.
Exactly.
As well. Conor Pope, as always, thank you very
much. Thank
you. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.